with us today. All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. And then if you'll also find Philippians chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 9 and Philippians chapter 4. Hey now, where'd the smiling go? Y'all were smiling when you were shaking hands. All right, I see. All right. It's good to see y'all smile. Everyone looks better with a smile. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." I hope you took advantage of the opportunity you had during the song service to magnify the name of the Lord and to exalt his name together as we sang out the hymns today. Isaiah chapter 9, if you found your place there, say amen. Amen. All right, most of you are there. Isaiah chapter 9, most of y'all can probably quote the verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much this morning for you being the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for you being wonderful, being our Counselor, being the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our church and in our midst here today. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our nation today. Lord, that you haven't forgotten us, Lord, but that you still allow us to have church here, have a Bible here, and we thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, again, take advantage of the opportunity we have today to exalt the name of Jesus Christ together. I pray, Father, that you'd be in the midst of us as we go through the message this morning, that it could be a help to us, that it could be an encouragement to us. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as personal Savior, that they put their faith and trust in you and you alone today for salvation, Lord, and that we could rejoice together in that. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. Thank you for what you're doing here at our church, and I pray that we would honor and glorify you in all that's said and done. Lord, I pray you'd be with our pastor as he is away, and Miss Melva, that you keep them safe on the road, Lord, and bring them back to us safely. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Here we see the name of God, one of the names of God here. And we've been looking at a series recently on these names of God. We started with Jehovah Jireh. How many of y'all remember that one? God will provide. And boy, does God provide for us each and every day. And then we saw and looked at Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. And just as a person may go by many names for certain reason, God has many names, and each one of his names holds unique traits and characteristics. Yet they all point to one man. In our verse there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name," it doesn't say his names, it says his name, "shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jehovah God is the one that his name points to. Each of us, or each of his name, shows us another part of his personality. And with this in mind, this morning we look at the name Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. Boy, we need peace today. We need peace in our nation today. Think about all the things that our president's going through, trying to make decisions, and our politicians, and all the different things that go on in the world today. We need peace. But peace can go by many definitions. For example, silence. That's peaceful, isn't it? Silence. You ever been out in the woods and heard the birds, sat next to a stream, and it's just silence? That's peaceful. And it can go by many definitions. Some moms just want the kids to be quiet so they can have a moment's peace, right? That's all they want. They just want the kids to be quiet for a little while so I can have a moment's peace. Or perhaps peace could mean security. Peace of mind that the bills will be paid, or that the groceries can be purchased. Or maybe you define peace as rest. You'd like nothing more than after the service to go get something to eat and then to be cuddled up under a warm blanket without a care in this world so you can take a nap. Amen? How many of you are nappers on Sunday afternoon? If you're a Baptist, you're probably a napper, right? On a Sunday afternoon. But that might mean peace to you, rest. Peace comes in all shapes and sizes. And as a child, all you needed was your mama or daddy to tell you everything was going to be all right, and you had peace about the situation. Now, as an adult, you've heard preaching about how God, your Heavenly Father, cares, watches out for, and provides for you, and yet we still struggle to find peace when we know that He's got it all under control. We know that He's set promises in His Word that we can trust. We're funny that way, aren't we? It's like we grow out of faith. We grow out of trust, that childlike faith. We know that God says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But we still find it hard to trust Him. But see, everyone wants peace. Whether it's financial peace, mental peace, physical peace, or spiritual, we all long for this thing called peace. Psalm 34:14 says, "To depart from evil and do good," here it is, "seek peace and pursue it." But see, that's interesting to me. This verse is telling us to do something that we already do, right? Seek peace. The world seeks peace, don't they? They do try. They try to find something to give them some peace. They think money will bring them peace. But y'all know the name John D. Rockefeller, right? He's one of the richest men in America. And he was asked this question, "How much money will be enough?" And Rockefeller replied, "Just a little bit more." Just a little bit more. Money's not going to bring peace. He tried to find peace, maybe in money, or maybe those that have tried to accumulate wealth, they try to find peace in money, but it will never satisfy. They look for peace in a bottle. According to a study done by the National Center for Drug Abuse Statistics, nearly 1 in 10 Americans over the age of 12 struggle with alcohol addiction. 1 in 10 over the age of 12 struggle with that. America, they're looking for peace. They try to find it in all shapes and sizes. They also came to the conclusion in this survey that 178,307 Americans die from the effects of alcohol in an average year. Nearly 200,000 people. Why? They wanted some peace. They tried to find it somewhere. They tried to find it in a bottle. You see, they are trying to find peace, yet all they are finding is something to numb the pain. When I had my wisdom teeth removed, they gave me some medicine to put me to sleep. When I woke up from that medicine, I was kind of all there. I was a little loopy still, but I woke up from that medicine, and at the time I had my learner's permit, and they were having to help me down the hallway because I couldn't really walk. I was too dizzy, and I asked my mom if I could drive us home, and she, of course, said no, but then I went home. I used to like to paint. Landscapes and things. And the best landscape painting I ever did was right after I'd had my wisdom teeth taken out, okay? Don't put two and two together there. But we try to look for peace. But see, that medicine was something that was just temporary. It temporarily numbed the pain. It was something that would wear off. It wouldn't give me lasting peace. But that's what the world finds in this alcohol. They try to find something and it'll just numb the pain. They look for peace in a pill or a needle. They look for it in fame, in business, in entertainment, in success, in a politician. The list goes on and on. You see, they are doing what the verse says. They're seeking peace. They're pursuing it. But the problem is they're seeking the wrong peace. They're seeking the wrong peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." You see, we need more than just what the world has to offer to have peace in this life. You may be searching, but until you have a relationship with Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, you will have no real peace. And so that brings us to point number one. You found your place there in Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry, I didn't forget about it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. We'll look at this, and I'm also going to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'll read a verse here. Romans chapter 5, 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Number one, we need peace with God. Peace with God. Peace with God is only obtained through faith in Jesus Christ, as it says in this verse, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." See, before we got saved, we were all enemies of God. We didn't have peace. We didn't have peace with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Without salvation, we are at best the enemy of God the Father. No amount of good works, good deeds, or good intentions will cause you to have peace with God. You've probably heard something go along like this before, and it's not exactly how it works, but if you were to stand at the pearly gates this morning, there up in heaven, there's nothing that you could say to get yourself in. There's nothing you can claim other than Jesus to get yourself in. You could say, well, I've been good. Well, Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Nothing, even the good stuff that you think you do, if you're not saved here today, even the good things that you try to do, maybe you try to pay it forward in the drive-thru, or maybe you work at the food bank, or maybe you help somebody here or there along the way, whatever it may be, you're trying to do something good, but God says even our righteousness, even the good we're trying to do before we're saved, it's just filthy rags. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ put His super on our natural. He has to put something special into what we are doing in order for it to be good. And that requires us to be saved. Justified, it says in verse 1 of Romans 5. It says, therefore being justified. Justified means to pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment, and to, here it is, to accept His righteousness on the account of merits of the Savior, or by application of Christ's atonement to the offender. Basically what that means is, justified means is just if I had never sinned. Just if I had never done those things that were wrong, you are pardoned, you're clear from guilt, and it's because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Once we are saved, we have been justified by God. And now we can enjoy peace with God, peace with Him, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. When we get saved, we take all that is anti-peace and trade it in for the peace that only Jehovah Shalom can give. Imagine that. What kind of a deal is that? For God, He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that went through all the shame. He's the one that went through all the burden of Calvary. And He took our sin on Himself. And then, after all of that, He says, hey, I'll give it to you freely. I'll give you the gift freely. Even though you're the one that put me on the cross, I'm going to give you this gift of salvation freely. And you can have peace with me. You think about the deals that they try to make with foreign countries, right? We are going through a lot of that kind of stuff here today in America, and we're trying to make deals and trying to settle things, and it's like, well, I have to get a little bit out of this deal. We have to get something that is of equal value here in order for us to make a peace deal, right? Well, God says, hey, I don't need anything but your faith and your willingness and for you to ask me, and I'll give you the gift. He doesn't need some special deal. He doesn't need something special from you other than for you to give Him your heart in faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then we can have peace with God. What a Savior we have. God wants us to keep our hearts in peace, in a peaceful state. He tries to do that for us in Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Funny, how can He keep something you haven't given Him? It says, shall keep your hearts. Shall keep your hearts. That means you've already given it to Him, right? That in salvation we have peace with God. We've given Him our heart. We've given Him our life. We want Him to save our soul from hell. And now He is trying to keep our heart and minds through Christ Jesus with this peace that passes all understanding. You see, once we have peace with God through salvation, you must still strive to give Him your heart and your desires daily to truly have peace. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest, that peace that God can give you if you just hand it to Him. What a Savior we have. I was telling Patty this morning, we're on our way here, I was thinking about a situation. And it's amazing to me that the God of heaven, He loves us so much that you've probably heard stories about like this before, where somebody, they will be unresponsive. And they've lived a life where maybe they didn't flat out reject God, but they never got saved, and they live a life where they're, and now they've gotten to a point in life where they're unresponsive, they're there, and somebody comes and shares the gospel with them. I've heard stories of people that eventually they wake up and they say, I heard every word. The God of heaven loves us so much, even when we get to the end and we've turned from Him and we haven't tried to be saved and we haven't looked to Him for help and asked Him for forgiveness and received the gift of salvation, He can even still say, hey, you're unresponsive in this world, but I'm going to still give you the ability to get saved. I'm still going to let you have that opportunity. I'm so thankful for the God we serve. He wants us to live a life full of peace. But sometimes we are too full of the world's problems to allow His peace to have a place. You know, it would be good for us sometimes, turn the news off. You know, it would be good for you sometimes, turn off social media. You know, it would be good for you, especially for your children sometimes, don't let them see all the junk. Don't let them see all the things that are going on in this world. To an extent, we're supposed to be simple concerning evil. We don't need all of those things flooding our life because it'll rob you of your peace that you rightfully get to have because you are at peace with God. But secondly, turn in your Bibles to John 14. Firstly, we see peace with God. We have peace with God through salvation. If you're saved here today, say amen. Amen. All right, you should be excited when somebody asks you, are you saved here today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, and everyone said, say so. Right? We have peace with God now that we're saved. And if you're not saved here today, you can have peace with God before you go home. You can have peace with God today before you leave. Don't leave here an enemy of God. It's a fight you'll never win. It's a fight that no one can win. Peace with God. And then John 14, we see the peace of God. John 14, verses 27 and 28, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. The verse, beginning of the verse, he says, peace I leave with you. We are now partakers of His peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man who would go to the cross and he wouldn't open his mouth against them as they accused him of things and spat upon him and beat him with a cat of nine tails and hung him on a cross and all the things that he went through, and he opened not his mouth. He had peace. He said, I'll give you that peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. The peace that the God of creation has, he says, I give unto you. When you get saved, now you can have that peace. Peace to go through the troubled times. Peace to go through the hard times. Not as the world giveth. The world, as we mentioned, will offer you a form of peace. They will try to give you peace. But we must deny their peace and tap into the peace that only Jehovah Shalom can give. Isaiah 54:13 says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. I say it was a dark day in America when they quit teaching the Bible to children. You know what I see in America today? No peace in the youth. There is no peace. But it says in this verse, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Children are taught all kinds of false narratives and doctrine today in schools. It is a sick and twisted environment that they have to endure out in this world. In fact, I thought this was interesting. Most youth depression is noted as being females and LGBTQ. And girls, I think today, they feel that they have to look a certain way. That's what the world's doing to them. They're saying, hey, young people, if you don't look like this, then you're not pretty. If you don't look like this, then you're not going to be worth somebody talking to. If you don't act like this, if you don't have this personality, then you're not going to be somebody that anybody would ever care to talk to or marry or any of these things. And so they pressure these girls, they pressure young men as well, but especially as I looked at this statistic, the depression among youth in the females, in the girls, it's a terrible thing that they have to go through. It's this twisted environment in this world that they endure. And then it also, as I mentioned, for the LGBTQ people, And the LGBTQ, in a way, especially when they're in a youth, I feel very, very sorry for them. They're simply misguided and confused. Why? Because America quit teaching them the Bible. America quit teaching them biblical principles. And so now they're confused, and America is going the wrong direction, especially in the youth. It says, great shall be the peace of thy children. Why? Because they shall be taught of the Lord. What young people need today is a knowledge of the things of God, more than the things of this world, but they are constantly bombarded on every side with social media, the news, and pressure. Now, parents, it is your responsibility to teach them the Bible, not the church alone. Sunday school is great, but it does not replace teaching the Bible at home. Preaching is great, but it does not replace teaching your children the Bible at home. Parents, you can't expect to send your child off to public school or even Christian school and expect that they've got enough. They're getting enough Bible there. You can't trust that the teacher is giving them enough Bible. You have to say, no, I'm going to make sure that they're getting something at home. They're learning at home. Because it says that they will have peace. When you learn the things of God, when you learn the promises of God, it can give you peace. But not only are we partakers of, where'd it go? Partakers of His peace. We are partakers of perfect peace. Turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, and we'll hurry. We are not just partakers of His peace, but we're partakers of perfect peace. Verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, every word in the King James Bible is perfect. Amen? Say amen. Every word in the Bible is God's word, and it's there for a reason. But why does it say perfect peace? Isn't peace from God perfect? Right? But why does it say perfect peace? Well, it could be referring to the peace, again, that only God the Father can give, rather than the peace that the world gives. That will keep him in perfect peace, God's peace. But it could also be referring to mature peace. As we know in the Bible, the word perfect, especially when referring to Christians, it's talking about a maturity, a completeness, as you are a perfect person, a perfect Christian. And so we want to be mature in our peace. If in the Bible, that word perfect, again, it means mature or complete. So perfect peace could be referring to a peace that was learned in the process of maturing you as a Christian. Let me explain. Growing up, I heard this phrase a lot. I'm not going to apologize for making you a man, son. That was a pretty rough phrase to hear a lot. But I'm not going to apologize for making you a man, son. And there were things, there were tasks and responsibilities that I was given that weren't always easy, but they shaped me into the man I am today. Likewise, as we grow in the Christian faith, God will shape us into mature or perfect children for His service. And so you see, peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God in the midst of the trial. God longs to give us this peace that passes all understanding. And this perfect peace, hey, maybe there's a reason. I know there's a reason. God is putting you through what you're going through today. And He's trying to mature you. He's wanting you to be able to have that perfect peace. He wants you to have that complete peace that only He can give. Whatever it may mean by perfect peace, I know three things for sure about it. Number one, I want it. I want perfect peace. Do you want perfect peace? You want perfect peace in your life, in your home, in your job? I want perfect peace. Number one, I want it. The Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. I want to seek that peace, not the peace the world gives. Number two, He's got it. He's got the peace. I've got to go to Him for peace. It says, because He trusteth in thee. He trusts in the Lord, and so He can have this peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Number three, I can have it. It says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then we are partakers of a powerful peace. Job 13 talks about a man, a perfect and upright man. He eschewed evil. He had peace in the midst of the trial. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the jail, they had peace in the middle of that. Can you imagine sitting in prison and saying, hey, Silas, how about we sing some Amazing Grace? What? Are you kidding me, Paul? We just got beat. We just got thrown in prison. What are you talking about? Sing Amazing Grace. Hey, maybe they started and they said, peace, peace, wonderful peace. And all the other cells, the other inmates there, they're thinking, what in the world are these guys talking about? What are they singing about? They've got peace. They may be killed. They may be stoned. And they have peace in the middle of the trial. Why? Because they have that peace of God. Daniel in the lion's den. He was thrown into the lion's den. I mentioned a while back, I don't like cats that much. We did have cats growing up, okay? And they were okay from time to time, but there are some cats I don't like very much. Lions would be one I don't like that much if I'm going to be thrown into a den with them. That would probably rob my peace. That would probably rob your peace. But Daniel, he was thrown in the den of lions. He had peace. And Darius, he said, the Lord be with you. God be with you. I want you to make it out. And then he says, King, the angel came and closed the lion's mouth. He had peace that God would take care of him. We can have the same powerful peace today. And then number three, back to Philippians chapter 4, and we're done. Philippians chapter 4. So we have peace with God, we have the peace of God, and then we have peace in God. Chapter 4, we began in verse number 7. The Bible says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. True and honest. In other words, keep your mind on God and His Word. Dwelling on God's Word is a great source of true peace. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Maybe you don't have a peaceful life, a peaceful home. Are you reading the Bible? Are you meditating on God and His Word? Think on those things that are true and honest. Time spent meditating on God's Word is never time that was wasted. You can sit around doing absolutely nothing else but thinking about God's Word, and you're not wasting time. You're not wasting time. Just and pure, just, agreeable to righteousness, meaning that which is right. Pure, in Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know, this Bible Heritage Museum we're going to have over at the mall will cause people to think on the words of God. I hope it brings people some peace. It says they're pure words. Things that are morally clean. Again, be careful about the company you keep. Do the people you hang around cause you to think about pure things? Does the music you listen to cause you to think about pure things? Does the things you watch on TV, do they cause you to think about pure things? Think on these things, just and pure, lovely and of a good report. Lovely means pleasing, beautiful, and admirable, or admirable. Good report is referring to our testimony. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The God of peace, verse 9 of Philippians 4, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. God tells us how we can have peace with Him through salvation, and He gives it to us freely. And we can receive His peace, the peace of God. But then He says, you can have peace in me. You can have peace in God and abide in His peace. Why? Because He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. So in a world filled with turmoil, terrorism, trials and trouble, we need peace. We need to have peace with God so we can have the peace of God and in God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Could it be this morning that you are living a life void of the peace of God? You've gotten saved, you have peace with God, you're no longer an enemy of God, but now you're struggling day to day with just having peace in every situation. Life gets hard, difficulties will come, but you can have peace. Or perhaps you have found your mind and eyes and focus straying from God. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee." Keeping your mind on God, your focus on him, will bring you peace. As we saw this morning, if we want perfect peace, that's what we must do, is keep our mind on him. Or is it possible that somewhere through the message you have examined yourself and have come to the conclusion that you aren't at peace with God? That's a scary place to be, the enemy of God. There is no better time to be saved than now. The Bible says that you can know that you are saved in 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." In Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9 says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That it says, "For whosoever," that's you. Today, if you're not saved, that's you. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're saved here today, you already have peace with God. I hope you have the peace of God, and I hope you're living in peace with God and in God. But if today you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you just lift up your hand and say, "I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know if I'm at peace with God. I don't remember a time where I prayed and asked the Lord to save me." If you just lift up your hand. Anybody like that here today? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we can have peace with you. You've given me that, Lord, through salvation. I thank you for the peace of God that you give us each and every day, that you, the Son of God, that you would give us your peace. It's an amazing thing that you do for us. But Lord, that we can have day-to-day peace in you and in the life that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time of invitation together. And Lord, that if there's anyone here today that needs to be saved, that they put their faith and trust in you and you alone today for salvation. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Everyone, if you'll stand and take your hymnals and turn to number 115. Number 115, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all so that you can have peace. He wants you to have peace today. He wants you to have peace with him. And all he asks you to do if you're not saved is come. Come and receive this peace. If you're not sure you're saved today, just please don't leave before you have that settled in your heart. Brother Mark, you lead us as we sing number 115.